Out of tune. Upton Scudamore pushed the manuscript away from him. 23 mark, just another 45 to go till dinner time. He sighed and looked through the rain-stained window to the wilderness garden beyond. He could see that weeding needed to be done, the lawn needed cutting, bushes needed pruning, but not today. As he let his mind wander for a moment, a tune sneaked its way in, a nasty, incessant tune which he didn't recognise. Pom-pom, poverty, pom-pom. He metaphorically shook his head in order to dislodge it, but it seemed to seep even deeper. Getting back to the marking, he told himself he'd concentrate on that. Post! His sister poked her way around the door into his sanctum. And a tea. You're disturbing me, his mind said. But he accepted the tea and pushed the small pile of letters and pamphlets to one side. How are you getting on? His sister had an insistent habit of intruding. She'd intruded when his wife finally left him, and she'd been intruding ever since. Just till you get your life back together, she intruded. But she'd never allowed him to get his life back together, as she called it. She was now a permanent intrusion into his life. As a postcard from Hinton, she said, he's inviting you to his next concert, is he? Upton tried to brush it off. I shan't go. He's invited you especially. He's your oldest friend. We were at school together. That's what I mean, oldest friend. It doesn't mean he was a friend. I was at school with 30 other people. I don't call any of those friends. He's been loyal to you. He's intruded on my life whenever he needed someone to be compared with. He tries to show me up as a failure compared with his success. If that's what you mean by being a loyal and oldest friend, you're in a grumpy mood, so I'll leave you to your marking. It's soup and sandwiches for lunch. With that, she left the room. As the door closed, the tune jumped back into his head as though it had been waiting for the opportunity. Pom-pom, pompity-pompity-pom-pom, diddle. Where the hell did he know that tune from? It was going to annoy him, as it seemed to be stuck in moments of quiet that he could grasp in that general noise of life. Something he'd heard somewhere, but where? He hadn't been anywhere for what seemed like weeks. He was stuck here in this room, marking these bloody exam scripts, skimming through a series of ill-thought-out, badly constructed, poorly spelt pieces of paper, which would eventually take this person through to a university or a music college of poor note. Pardon the pun. He could feel himself getting worked up again, which wasn't good for his heart. He would need to calm down, get a grip, as someone once said to him. He replied, trying to be witty. What does one grip onto when everything seems to be so ephemeral? Unfortunately, the ignoramus hadn't understood the word ephemeral, and so had taken it as some sort of insult, which of course it was, but still. Pom, poppity, pom, 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 pom. There it was again. But what was it? Someone would know. His sister? God! He would have to push away all this important work and go down the stairs to her domain. But as he pushed the manuscripts away, they got entangled with the mug of tea, which was now very lukewarm and untouched, but still very wet, as the mug tipped over and spilt its contents onto the papers, his desk, and dribbled down onto his lap. He jumped up, pushing his chair backwards so that it caught on the rug and tripped over. That was all her fault, for putting that rug down. He went to the door and wrenched it open. Cloth! He boomed down the stairs. Cloth, you stupid woman! Cloth! He waited. No answer. She got that bloody radio on, listening to all that drivel. Farley, wake up, woman! I have an emergency! He looked back at a desk. The papers were being blotted out as the cheap inkjets bled all over the cheap printer paper. He'd never be able to read them now. Farley, I have a crisis on my hands. Stop listening to that nonsense and come to my aid! He waited. Nothing happened. Or rather, pum, poppity, pum, 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 pum. I'll go mad, he internalised. Farley, I need you at once, he externalised, or I shall go mad. Then a voice came up the stairs. Was that you calling? And he just managed to stop himself in time from letting full rent to his anger. I've spilt my cup. It's gone over everything. I may need something to clean it up with. Is that all? I'll bring a cloth. Before he could reply, He knew she had efficiently gone back to the kitchen and would bring one of those various cloths that she kept in drawers ready for all occasions. As she swiftly soaked up the mass and guided the remaining liquid into his waste paper bin, he began to hum the tune that had been going through his head. "What's that nonsense?" Fairley said. "I thought you might know. It's a tune. I can't get it out of my head."
"What rubbish? Me know? Why should I know?"
"Because you listen to all that rubbish on the radio." "It's not a Radio 2 tune, I can tell you that."
"What rubbish?
To think I listen to things like that." And with that, she shook his sodden exam papers and dropped them unceremoniously into the bin where the rest of his tea was spilling about.
"You can't," he was about to say. "Too late."
"Your lunch will be on the table in half an hour. If you're late, your sandwiches will begin to curl. Me listening to rubbish like that, what nonsense." And with that, she squeezed out the sodden cloth on top of the exam papers and moved to the door. He couldn't say anything. He wanted to, but his rage, his horror at what had just happened, was too much. He stood there, quivering, and it came again. Pom, pompity, pom, 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 pom.
"Must know what it is," he thought. "If I knew where it came from, then perhaps it might disappear in a puff of silence." It was all pathetic, but then life was pathetic.
Then he noticed that the one piece of post on his desk that had escaped the deluge was that postcard that she'd pointed out, the one from Hinton Charterhouse. What the hell did he want?
Why did he insist on sending postcards? Oh, but of course. They always showed works of art from the galleries where he'd serenade his soppy fans, or cities where he'd been invited to give a guest appearance. Why had bloody Charterhouse made it when he had had to struggle and scrimp and save every inch of his life? What made bloody Charterhouse so successful? Who was he sleeping with?
But for all that, Upton wanted to know what Charterhouse had written to him, just so that the bile could rise in his gut. He felt that he needed to finish off his day of disaster, even though it was hardly the end of the morning. He looked at the photograph on the front of the postcard, an exotic fish. Did that mean he hadn't been anywhere recently? Perhaps at long last those world tours of his were drying up. Perhaps at long last they'd found him out, exposed him for the tantalus turd Upton had always thought him to be. With an almost childish glee, he flipped over the card to read the message.
Oh, God, he thought. There's that weird, spidery writing. I need my glasses,
he searched for his case. Nowhere to be seen.
Farley, I need my glasses.
His sister will have moved them, hidden them, just to annoy him. Pom, 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 diddly, diddly, bum.
Get out of my head!
He stopped suddenly and realised that he'd called out aloud. Was he going mad?
Did you call? Lunch is ready and it's getting cold. It won't wait for you all day. I need my glasses. Well, I've not got them. Why would I need your glasses? I've got my own, thank you very much. It's celery, and it's on the table. But I need...
But he knew that she'd gone back into the kitchen, listening to the bloody radio again. He'd have to go down so she could read the card to him. He realised he was becoming more and more dependent upon her, and that annoyed him even more.
Pom, pom, poppity, pom, 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 pom. He's telling you he's got an afternoon concert on at the Abbey.
Good for him.
He's inviting you to come and give him a critique.
Telling him how wonderful it is, more like.
Started at 2. You can get there with plenty of time.
Why should I?
Because he's your oldest friend.
He stared into his homemade celery soup as the strings of celery caught up in his teeth, something like a vegetable floss. Still, he had nothing better to do. There was no more marking to be done. That mug of tea had put pay to that. Perhaps he did need to get out. He would enjoy the drive. He'd been cooped up in the house too long. He needed some me time.
I'm going.
Where?
Charterhouse's bloody concert. Where else?
Without me?
You won't like it. You don't like his music.
You don't like his music?
That's different. I'm a music critic. I'll be able to tell him how bad it was with a certain amount of educated knowledge.
Oh, well, if you're going to take it like that all afternoon, I certainly won't come with you.
Go on your own. Enjoy yourself.
Well, I certainly won't do that. Not listening to that tuneless, unconnected garbage. But at least I'll enjoy telling Charterhouse that.
He was late already. Farley had made him dress up.
He didn't need to dress up. It's a concert, she said. Everyone will be dressed up. On a Tuesday afternoon? He tried to reason with her, but it was easier just to dress up. And that meant choosing the right tie and the right jacket. He'd been through his wardrobe twice before she'd been happy. Give my love to Hinton, she said, as he crunched down the gravel path to the car. You don't know him from Adam. You've hardly ever met him a few times. Still give him my love? He wouldn't, of course. He wouldn't even mention that he was living with his sister, and he certainly wouldn't mention the schoolwork. That would be too shaming. He turned the key in the ignition, and the car just about spluttered into life. Pom, pommity pom. Oh, that bloody tune again. This time it was louder than ever. He pushed down the clutch, he rammed the gear in, and slammed down on the pedal. The car lurched forward as though it was in a Formula One race. As he turned out into traffic without looking, there was a sharp, strident horn. As a car coming sedately up the avenue found a maniac turning out in front of them without warning. The tune was still there. He tried to concentrate on his driving and thought that if he went faster and watched everything around him, it would go away. Not this time. He was too much in his head, and dominating everything was that bloody tune. What had he done to deserve this? It wasn't fair. He'd paid his taxes. He was a law-abiding citizen. There was no justice in this. Go away, he screamed out loud, and that's when everything came to a halt. Something ahead wasn't moving. He'd have to wait. Pom, pom, poppity, pom, 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 pom. He'd have to sit there and take it. Why was he out there anyway? To go to a stupid concert given by a so-called friend playing music he hated. He hated him. At this precise moment, he hated everybody. Turn on the radio. Drown it out. Pom, pom, going through his head. Fiddle with the volume control. He twisted the tuner. White noise, distorted voices. There must be something it could bear to listen to. Twiddle, twiddle, thump, thump, wrong music, blah, blah, spoken nonsense. And then the traffic was clear again. They were off, past the two cars with the dents, past the two drivers taking out pieces of paper, past and onward. It was too late now. He was going to miss the concert. It had already started. A voice came on the radio. We are now going over to... He wanted to turn it off, but the traffic was gathering speed and it was now coming up to a motorway. The voice continued, St. Mark's Abbey for the daily concert. He was on the slip road. He hadn't been on a motorway for some time. What had possessed him? It was all nonsense, the voice droned on. A new work by... He was being pushed on by a heavy lorry coming up behind him. The voice droned on. Brinton Charterhouse. What, that bastard? He could have stayed at home after all. Was that what Charterhouse had said on his postcard? There was a brief pause on the radio. He was going even faster. There was another lorry now in front. He was being hemmed in. Then the music started. Pom, pom, pompity, pom. It was the tune. That bloody tune. He hadn't heard it in the past. He tried to turn off the radio. The more he fiddled with the knobs, the louder it seemed to get. It pounded around the car, coming in from all sides. He needed to get away from it. He desperately turned the knob, twisting it this way and that. Pom, pompity, pom, pom. The music was still in his head. As his head flew off his body, when the car ploughed into the back of the truck in front. There was a crunching and banging of metal as the body of the car disappeared under the tail of the lorry. Even the radio went quiet.